Case number 08-5148, Enterprise National Bank Appellant versus Thomas J. Vilsack, Secretary, United States Department of Agriculture. Mr. Richard for the appellant, Ms. Graham Oliver for the appellee.
May it please the court. My name is John Richard. I represent the appellant in this case, Enterprise National Bank, formerly known as, Enterprise National Bank, now known as Enterprise Bank of Florida. We filed this action in the district court to enforce an agency decision made by a hearing officer of the USDA's National Appeals Division. Neither the bank nor the agency appealed that decision by the hearing officer within the agency's administrative review process to the director of the National Appeals Division. Because no party appealed that decision to the director of the NAD, this is not a record review. It was not a record review in the district court. The complaint in the district court framed the case as an enforcement action. What happened here is that the NAD hearing officer was charged with deciding whether the agency had erred in denying a full faith and credit loan guarantee to the bank. The bank had made a loan for the construction of a catfish processing plant in Wrightsville, Georgia. That loan failed. That loan failed because the borrower was a fraudulent actor, and he has since been convicted, and he has served a prison term for defrauding both the USDA and the bank in that case, and he actually pled guilty to both of those charges, to defrauding both parties. In the NAD appeal process, the hearing officer had before him simply one issue. Did the agency err when it decided to deny the loan guarantee? The hearing officer found that it did. He had just the one burden. Did the agency err? The bank had the burden of showing in that hearing process that the agency erred based on a preponderance of the evidence.
So the hearing officer couldn't have set a figure between zero and $3.1 million?
It is an all or nothing process. And we spent considerable time in the hearing process asking the hearing officer exactly that. What is your authority? One of the things that happened, the remand, the hearing officer's decision that was on appeal to the district court and is at issue here was the second decision by a hearing officer in this case. Bank went through the process originally, appealed to the director of the NAD. He sent it back down for a remand determination, and that remand hearing officer took additional evidence and in his hearing process questioned the agency at length on whether he had the authority to split the proverbial baby, to decide if the agency is right as to a portion, or could prove in the hearing process that they were correct as to a portion of the denial of the guarantee.
Now, could the director have picked a figure between, I guess, the next step? Could, I think that's called the director review. Could the director have chosen a figure between zero and $3.1 million?
We believe so. We believe that the director has equitable authority, and if either party had appealed to the director, the director could have set a figure, could have looked at the hearing officer's decisions and said, well, I will give you the 2.95 and the 80,000.
So your position is the hearing officer had a choice between zero and 3.1 million, and best read, it's got to be zero.
It does have to be zero.
What do we do with his findings of fact then? I mean, he found the negligent servicing in those amounts $80,000 in one and $2 million something in the other.
He did. And
you all didn't appeal that.
We didn't appeal that, and the reason that the bank didn't appeal that is because it's the actual determination at the end of his decision that is the operative portion. The equivalent here is this court could write a 250-page opinion, but the words that really matter are affirmed or reversed. In the NAD hearing process, the words that really matter are, did the agency err, yes or no?
Dicta, that's what, right?
Correct.
I thought there was something in the regulatory process that if you all don't appeal, neither side appeals, that the hearing officer's determination is the, otherwise, do we have a final agency action?
You have a final, there are provisions in the NAD regs, the USDA's regulations that govern the NAD appeal process, that say that if neither party appeals the hearing officer's finding, it becomes final agency action. But in order to file an APA record review in the district court, you have to exhaust your administrative options. If you haven't taken an appeal to the director, you cannot file an APA record review in the district court. Neither side appealed the hearing officer's decision to the director, so neither side could bring a record review action, which is why once the agency turned around and essentially took a second bite at the apple, they had lost in the NAD hearing process, and they said, well, we don't quite read it that way. They decided, we will give you a portion of your money, and we're going to deny
the rest. Could you have appealed that new determination, a new appeal?
They didn't give us appeal rights. If they had thought that that was an appealable decision under the NAD regs, they would have attached to the letter a full description of the appeal rights, just like you'll find in the record attached to the underlying decision denying the bank's guarantee. The other reason that they wouldn't give us appeal rights or that we wouldn't have...
You didn't ask for it, though.
We did not ask for it, and the reason why is that that gives the agency a second bite at the apple. They can send you back into a negative feedback loop and just continue to send you through the NAD appeal process until they get the result that they want. So the other reason to go back to Judge...
Is your argument that the hearing officer had no authority to make these separate findings based on the... sentence in the manual which says the hearing officers have no equitable power? Is that your argument?
It is in part that they do not have equitable power, that only the director
has. Okay, but why is it equitable? Why is what the hearing officer did equitable? All the hearing officer did was to conclude that that it was erroneous for the reasons given in the opinion, and he listed these two problems, the shed and the failure to come up with the equity. So, in other words, why is it equitable? Why is that equitable to say the agency was right for some reasons and wrong for others?
I think it turns on the fact that the hearing officer has the obligation simply to determine in an up or down decision.
No, but that's what I was asking you. Is that based on the fact that he has no equitable power? Is that where that comes from?
Yes.
Okay. Well, why is that? Why is it asserting an equitable power to rule that the agency was right in some respects and wrong in others? That doesn't sound like equity to me. And in fact, don't we have a situation here, this word, it's the agency interpreting the word equitable power, right? And we owe some deference to the agency in terms of its interpretation of that word, and it says that's not what this is.
It would be the agency interpreting equitable power, right? Agency post-hearing officer decision.
Right. Well,
yeah, who?
What's wrong with that? I mean, that's their interpretation of the word equitable, and you're not challenging the decision, right? You're challenging the department's interpretation of the decision.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, so the department says this isn't equitable. He had the authority to do this, and why is that unreasonable?
Well, it's unreasonable for a couple of reasons. First of all, they didn't follow their own regulations. They should have appealed. If they were unhappy with the director's decision, the agency should have appealed it to the director of the NAD and sought an additional ruling. The other reason that...
Well, maybe it wasn't unhappy with it because it was prepared to pay in accordance with that decision.
And it did.
And it did.
I mean, if it
sent a check for that amount. Why would it appeal?
Why would it?
It didn't disagree that it it owed a portion of the guarantee. It's not paid. Why would it appeal?
It would appeal because they, first of all, they paid under protest. They have contended all the way through the process, even after the issuance of the remand determination, that the hearing officer got the thing wrong. And then what they did is, in a further example of the bad faith that pervaded the agency's treatment of the bank throughout the entire process, and that's detailed in the hearing officer's decision. That's not simply my characterization of the record. They decided that rather than go through the appeal process, they were simply going to rewrite what the hearing officer said.
And can an agency just ignore what its adjudicators say?
Absolutely not. This court has held that the agency has a duty to scrupulously follow their own regulations. And for that reason, that's what makes their interpretation and the agency's actions after the hearing officer's determination, that's what makes them arbitrary and capricious and not in convention with the law. I see that I am...
Part of this is the ambiguity of what hearing officer Mills meant, but there's no, you know, ordinarily when we don't know what someone meant, there's an opportunity for remand, but there's no avenue I've thought of getting this back before hearing officer Mills to find out what hearing officer Mills meant. Is that correct?
I agree, and I agree with the district court below that hearing officer Mills could have drawn a more artful ruling. I think when you combine what he says in the determination section with the fact in his findings of fact that he has excluded the foundational evidence used by the agency to support their decision, he excluded the entire Office of Inspector General report. That's everything that they had. When you compare the OIG report to
the decision... You mean about all the misbehavior?
Correct.
Well, but that doesn't really have anything to do with the case you've brought here, right? You're just challenging their interpretation. You're not challenging the decision. You're challenging the department's interpretation of the decision, right?
Correct. But
and the department, I assume, reads, appellant has proven that the decision is erroneous to mean erroneous for the reasons he gave. So, right?
That's and they would read erroneous in part and right. Pick and choose the pieces. And our argument is it's not in part under the NAD zone.
But you agree that we have some deference to the department as to how it interprets this decision.
But only if the agency follows their regulations do they get deference.
And the failure here to follow the regulations was they didn't appeal?
They didn't appeal it to the director of the National Appeals Division. And they didn't follow the NAD procedures within the process. I mean, they had their ex parte communication with the hearing officer.
But you agree that evidence doesn't relate to the, like, you're saying that...
It relates to the context in which the agency made the decision to, in effect, reinterpret the hearing officer's determination.
Your point is it was zero or 3.1 million. The hearing officer determination's best read as zero, and they didn't appeal.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Heather Graham Oliver, and I represent the USDA. The question before the court this morning is whether the agency's interpretation of the hearing officer's decision is arbitrary and capricious. While the hearing officer found generally that RDS could not reduce the bank's loss to zero, the hearing officer specifically found that the bank was negligent in two respects. The bank's contention that the hearing officer had no authority to make separate findings on each item is misplaced and not based in reality.
Did the hearing officer have authority to set a figure between zero and 3.1 million?
The hearing officer had that authority because in his report and decision, he explicitly said he was answering six questions. And in answering those six questions, he made specific findings of fact, one of which was that the bank was negligent in not properly servicing the loan to the extent that did not inject the cash, $2.9 million.
But if the hearing officer had that authority, mm-hmm. It didn't set a figure, though.
If you read...
Because you could take the findings and you could slice and dice them various ways. You could say out of the total loss, half was caused by negligence, so we'll apply a 50% figure to the total loan. There are a number of different mathematical, as the district court judge articulated, number of different ways you could have done this if you were going to find a figure between the two poles.
And the way that the hearing officer did it was...
We don't know. That's my point. You don't know what the hearing officer would have done if he knew he had the authority to set a figure between 0 and 3.1 million.
Well,
at least I don't know. I can't tell from reading it.
Well, he certainly did. It was very clear from his opinion as far as what negligence the bank had committed, and also of that opinion, in enforcing that opinion, it was not unreasonable for the agency to interpret his decision in the manner in which they did interpret it. He clearly set forth, again, those issues that had to be decided, and in interpreting those issues, the agency was not arbitrary or capricious in interpreting it such that it reduced the total amount that was owed to the bank under the guarantee. The USDA requests, therefore, that the decision of the hearing officer be upheld as neither arbitrary nor capricious.
Is that the relief they're seeking? Isn't the relief you're seeking from the court a determination that the department's interpretation of the hearing officer's decision was not arbitrary and capricious?
Yes.
They're not challenging the hearing officer's decision. They're just challenging your client's interpretation of it, correct?
That's what they have said here today, yes. And so we would request that the agency's decision to put in place the hearing officer's decision or to enforce the hearing officer's decision be found to be neither arbitrary nor capricious.
Your theory is that they should have appealed, right? If they didn't like what the hearing officer did, they should have appealed to the director?
Yes, they should have appealed the decision to the director if they didn't like what the hearing officer did.
That's what I don't understand, though, because you would read the determination section and say, we won. Usually you don't appeal when you win.
Unless you just read one page of the...
Well, you can read the first and the last page, I suppose. It's usually the most important of any opinion.
Yes, but the meat of the decision is within the other pages. If you read the decision as the hearing officer set forth, it's apparent that he did find negligence in servicing from the bank's point of view.
The determination section says appellant has the burden of proving the adverse decision is erroneous by a preponderance of the evidence. Appellant has proven that RBS's decision is erroneous. This is a final determination of the Department of Agriculture.
Yes.
Unless a party to the appeal files a timely request for review.
But the decision, again, was the decision to reduce the bank's loss to zero. That was what the hearing officer was finding as erroneous, not that in certain aspects the bank was not negligent. Thank you very much.
Does Mr. Richard? All right, why don't you take a minute?
Thank you, Your Honor. It's critical to look at the fact that the hearing officer actually said that the bank wins three separate times in his decision. It's not simply the last sentence or the first sentence. He says, based on the evidence and the arguments submitted by the parties and the program rules that apply, I conclude that the agency erred in its decision to reduce the appellant's loss claim to zero. He says it again in his summary section, which is just above the determination on the last page, and then he says it in the determination itself.
Do you know if this kind of decision, this kind of written opinion is typical of the practice?
I believe that it is. We have obviously examined quite a number of these.
It just seems odd. There's so much ambiguity from a first time I've read one of these.
And what the hearing officer will tell you, and it's in the record from hearing officer Mills, that they are bound by the actual words of the adverse agency decision that starts the entire process. So when we look at what did the hearing officer have the authority to decide, we spent a great deal of time in the hearing itself with the hearing officer going line by line through that decision and asking the agency, okay, in this sentence you've said X, prove it, and they couldn't do it.
Did you say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you say earlier that the government represented during the hearing officer's hearing that there were only two figures the hearing officer could select, 0 or 3.1? Did the government say that?
They changed their position as they went through the hearing, as the hearing officer challenged them to essentially come up with the math that supported their damages figures. He went line by line through the decision.
But on the question of legal authority, was there a representation by the government in the hearing?
By the end of the remand hearing officer proceeding, they were arguing for a reduced that the hearing officer could find a number between 0 and 3.1.
So that's consistent with their position now, then?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.